Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier and happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hello, busy mamas. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I have a really exciting guest with me today, and we're going to talk about things that you might not think one would talk about on a podcast, but it's going to be really exciting. So today I have with us Jovanka Sierras, who is a former entertainment executive turned wellness expert. She's a detox specialist, nutrition educator, and an author. She's the creator of the Wellness Smackdown, a proprietary detox and weight loss program for natural weight loss that was featured on the first season of ABC's My Diet is Better Than Yours. Jovanka studied nutrition with the best-selling author, Dr. T. Colin Campbell at Cornell University, and life wellness coaching at the Spencer Institute. She offers lectures, workshops, and wellness coaching in both English and Spanish, which is going to let me apologize for any way that I said her name in the wrong way. My husband's Colombian, so I'm super conscious of when I pronounce Spanish speakers' names because she has such a lovely name. So welcome, Jovanka, to the show.
Thank you so much. That was a wonderful intro. And yes, you did pronounce my name perfectly well.
Well, so I'm so excited. So we have a TV star on the show today. And what's so funny is that one of the first things that I did myself early on in this healthy journey when I had my first child was I threw away the television. So I feel very like not up on the latest shows. But that was, that was one of the first things I decided was my kids weren't going to watch TV and see all those commercials.
Yep.
But so tell us a little bit about yourself and about your journey and how you became, how you got where you are today.
Yeah. So as you said in the bio, I was an executive in the entertainment world for over a decade and, traveling the world, working high stress level jobs and working with really fancy people. So I had a seemingly sexy job, right? Working with people like Beyonce and Kanye West and Jay-Z and Sting and, traveling the world, but getting really stressed out and not paying attention to my eating and living habits. And my body gave me what I like to call a smackdown in the form of diseases that while they weren't life-threatening, they were actually really chronic in nature. So things like IBS or irritable bowel syndrome, I had ulcers, I had endometriosis, I had fibroids, which are benign tumors in your uterus. And I was under 30. And so, you know, unfortunately, Western medicine didn't have a lot to offer in way of healing other than, you know, take this pill and manage your symptoms. And I said, this is not acceptable. This could not possibly be the end of this story. And I started to learn a little bit and become really going back to that sense of curiosity that we had when we were children and somehow we lost. And became really, really passionate about what I put in my body and what goes in it and what happens to my body once foods are inside of it. And what I learned became such a passion that I left that seemingly sexy job that was slowly killing me to become a healthy living advocate. And in the last 4 years, I've written 3 books, taught countless, I mean, thousands of people all around the world with online programs. And as you said, just a few months ago, I finished my first season on a show that paired experts with people that needed a health overhaul, and that aired on ABC a few months ago.
I know, it's so exciting. So tell us a little bit about, like, so when you first went to doctors and they were telling you, you know, you first understood what was wrong with you and they were telling you to take medicines, did you always know intuitively that that wasn't what you wanted to do?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, I remember being very, I mean, when you go to doctors today, we have to recognize that we are the CEOs of our own bodies, right? Nobody has control over what happens to you other than you. And doctors, unfortunately, don't have the time that they had 50 years ago to sit with you for half an hour, 45 minutes, and go through your entire life history. So it is up to us to go there and tell the doctor, I understand that you only have 50 minutes with me, but this is really important because I only have one stomach and one liver and one instead of intestines. So I literally went there armed with information and more importantly, questions. I wanted to know what caused these problems. Let's look at the root cause of these problems so that I can solve them. I mean, it's very hard for us to solve the problem unless we know what's causing them. And that's where I found a little bit of pushback because doctors don't know what causes IBS. Or, and they may know what causes, say, an ulcer, but they don't know how to heal it. They know how to manage the symptom. They know how to make you feel a little bit more comfortable, but they don't know much about nutrition and they don't know much about stress management. It's unfortunate, but they don't. So, of course, I remember going to a doctor and the doctor said, well, here's a prescription. I'm like, what does this do? Well, it will make you less in pain. Okay, but is it going to heal the ulcer? Well, not necessarily. And so it was very obvious that the person in front of me wasn't going to provide me any answers. It was my job then to go find them somewhere else.
And so then you went out and you started doing all this research and it led you to food. So tell us a little bit about what that looked like. What were you eating? But I know that you had this high stress life, but you didn't share a bunch of what you were eating. And how did you change that to make an effect?
So this was at that particular point, I was already aware, like most women in between the ages of say 25 and 35 are semi-aware, right? If you're slightly educated, you probably know, okay, vegetables are better than, you know, muffins. So I was already going towards that path and recognizing I need to increase more leafy green vegetables and more colorful stuff that comes from nature into my plate. But I was slim. I've always been slim. I was very young. I didn't have any obvious symptoms like lack of energy or, you know, any autoimmune disorder or anything that will actually push you to do something else. And I felt like, you know, as long as I continue to have my pasta dishes and my, you know, chicken piccata, whatever it is that I was eating, I will be okay. And like I said, I went to the wisdom of the ages. So I started learning about Ayurveda and Chinese medicine and even the ways in which our grandparents and great grandparents in the Western world consume foods, especially in Latin America, it's very different than the way we consume foods today. So it was that kind of education. It was that kind of realization that, okay, so this that I'm doing may not be the best for me. What else is there? And I started by doing what they call an elimination diet, which essentially means you eliminate everything from your diet and start reintroducing things slowly but steadily, just like you would a baby when you're weaning that baby off mother's milk. You would give them a banana for a day and see how they react. And if they don't have any allergies or if they like the banana, it's all new to their system. And then day three, you'll incorporate sweet potatoes and you'll see how sweet potatoes affect their bodies. So that's how I treated my body. And then started to realize, oh, certain things were caused an inflammatory response or an acidic response. It caused my body to feel not so good or really, really great. Or certain foods or the lack of certain foods allow me to be less bloated or less, my stomach less irritated or have less diarrhea, which with IBS you tend to have a lot of, or severe constipation, which a lot of women today suffer from. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. You realize that it's like being a guinea pig to your own health and longevity.
Yeah, I love that. And well, and that's very similar to my story. So, which was 7 years ago when I did the same thing. And it was really the first time I ever knew. I had no idea that food had that power, you know? And I actually did it for weight loss, but very quickly healed all these other things that I didn't know were solvable by food. And so it was just so eye-opening. So, but you said something actually that's really intriguing to me, because I did enter in, I had gained 80 pounds through my 3 pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did enter into this whole world because of that. And I just wasn't happy. And that was sort of the most tangible thing that I could pick.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, especially with children, you know, everyone talks a lot about this obesity epidemic with kids, right? And it's true. There are children who are eating too much and are gaining too much weight and are too big. But the other thing I notice with kids is that there's a lot of very small kids, you know, very skinny kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as a society, and this is true with adults too, which is why when you said that, it caught my interest, that you were always thin, even though you had these problems that could be solved with food. And I feel like a lot of times we think that when the outside looks okay, that the inside's okay.
Yeah.
So will you talk a little bit about that and some of those things that might happen on the inside? And I know we said we'd jump into gut health and just what that means and how, what that looks like, so that we can look for it.
Yeah. So this is one of the things that I talk to clients on a regular basis, and I teach in my courses, is this idea that if you've lived for 30 years, that's 30 years of chemicals and pollutants going in and out of your body through the foods that you eat, but also potentially through the products that you put on your skin or the air that you breathe or the water that you drink. So even if you lived in the woods and ate nothing but barks and leaves, you were over polluted, right?
Right.
And
right.
Just like when you've gone 2 days without a shower, you start to stink. Like things just are not right, and you just need to go and take a shower, right? The same thing happens with our bodies. The difference is that we can see the dirt under our nails, but we cannot see what's happening inside our livers or our kidneys or pancreas. And now in this generation is when we're starting to realize slowly but steadily that these habits that we've put forth since the beginning of the 50s, in some instances, the 50s and 60s, is affecting not just our generation, but our children's generation. And I mean, we can talk about this all day. There's this concept of epigenetics, which is this fairly new science when you compare them to all sciences, that talks about how the environment and the habits that you have affect and can affect your ability to develop disease or to you know, keep diseases off of you for a generation, in a matter of just one generation. In other words, your genes are about 20% of the equation. The other 80% is essentially what you do on a regular basis, or what your parents have done, to the point that you can have the best genes in the world because your parents gave you the best genes in the world, but your habits have been so detrimental to your ability to remain strong that the genes that you're passing on to your children are not the best genes, are not as strong as yours.
Right.
And so that is an important piece of information when you're talking about young mothers or people that are ready to have children or that have had children. And the beauty about this is it's not something to be really stressed out or angry about. The beauty of it is that it's almost like a switch. Dr. T. Colin Campbell, which is this amazing doctor that I've been learning from, talks about that the epigenetics of your body, it's almost like a little bit of a switch where you have the ability to switch your genes on and off, or that particular part of your gene pool on and off, to allow your body to become a stronger version of yourself. And so, you know, I consider myself very lucky that I have very strong, good genes. And so, yeah, I had the kind of genes that kept me fairly slim, even though I was eating lots of food and could have probably gained 80 pounds. There's a big difference between, you can argue that anorexic people are very slim, but they're not healthy.
Right.
And there's a lot of us around, walking around, thinking that we are healthy because we have a 26-inch waist. And there's nothing farthest from the truth. I mean, there is a lot of organs, as I said earlier, that we are not aware of, that we're not paying attention to. And when we turn 40 or 45, all of a sudden we develop diabetes or we develop heart disease, and we think that it's something that happened overnight. Nothing could be farthest from the truth. The truth is that we've been abusing our beautiful hearts and our pancreas for 15, 20 years. And by the time we get to be 40, it says, enough, I'm done. I'm going to shut down. And now things are about to get really hard.
Yeah, it's so interesting. This morning I tapped into a mom's group on Facebook, and there was a conversation about a whole bunch of mom. A doctor had told a mom that her child was not thriving, was not gaining enough weight. It was like an 18-month-old child. And so I kept reading, and all the responses were like, well, just give them more pasta and like give them lots of peanut butter and chicken. And I'm thinking like, what are we doing?
Exactly.
What are we, like, what, why? Like, why are we trying? We're either trying to make them bigger or smaller, but we're not trying to get them the nutrients that they need, like, to thrive. Like, if they have the nutrients, they will be their ideal weight, whether that's a little bit bigger than what Barbie looks like or a little bit smaller. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And I have doctors that are pediatrician friends. This one friend of mine, you will learn. I cannot give you her name right now, but you'll learn about her in about a year's time. She will be famous, trust me. And she is one of those pediatricians that it's also, we call her the hippie pediatrician, because she spends hours with these mothers talking about nutrition. And once again, unfortunately, a doctor may be an expert in a particular body type or a particular human. In the case of a pediatrician, they're experts in babies or in young people, but they're not necessarily experts in nutrition. So it is up to us to go and find that information from other experts, from other people that are trained to tell you what are the kinds of nutrients that your child needs and where do you find those nutrients in ways that are easy to absorb, because that's another big problem. You hear people all the time, well, you need your protein. So you stuff the kid with chicken and the kid doesn't like chicken. If you look at a two-year-old eating a piece of chicken, chances are they'll chew the piece of chicken. When the juices are done, they'll throw out the rest of it.
Yeah, right.
So we're naturally not inclined to eat those types of foods. We're naturally inclined to eat strawberries and pineapple, which once you're done with the juicy part, there's nothing left. You're already ready to swallow.
Right. Yeah, and you know, I was always surprised the different fruits and vegetables that my kids just loved. You know, and I was feeding the first two before I had even started all this work, but you know, that constantly surprised me that they loved these things, and it makes sense. So, let's talk about the gut, and let's talk a little bit about poop, cuz moms like that conversation. Yeah. So like what in a nor like in a, if we were in our optimal health and we were getting all the nutrients that we needed, what would that look like in a day? Like we would go to the bathroom a certain times a day? It probably wouldn't hurt our stomachs after we ate. Like, what are signs that we're doing a good job?
So if you're doing a good job, you'll wake up in the morning, and within the first hour of waking up, you have nature's call. So you have a need to pull or to sit in the toilet because you feel the fullness in the lower part of your lower back, or mostly on the left side of your lower belly, right? Because the colon is this U-shape, upside down U-shape thing. And so it comes down to your left side. So you should have a poop that is fairly full, that if it's not, and it's fairly soft. So it's soft going out and it potentially breaks in the bowl. Or is soft enough that it just, when it comes out, it just becomes nothing, right? I'm not talking about diarrhea. I'm not talking about the stuff that is really liquidy, but something that is more like a thick paste. And I'm sorry, I'm getting really.
I love it. We got to know it, or else we can't solve it. Because if we're not, if we can't tell from the outside, we got to tell from the inside. It's close to that, right?
So yeah, so it needs to be like a thicker paste, or it could be solid, but it will be you can tell that it's soft enough that it will probably break. If it's solid, it should be no less than a foot long.
Oh my god.
Which is actually not most of us do that. I mean, it takes weeks and weeks for us to get to that point. Patience is of the utmost importance in this particular stage. And then it's also easy for you to clean yourself, so you don't use a lot of paper.
Yep.
If you feel like you have to wipe and wipe and wipe, then obviously that's a sign of that you need to pay attention to something else. And if you eat two large solid meals, then you should have two solid bowel movements a day.
Okay. And so if you're feeling either the constipated route or in children, a lot of times I think what I see is whatever the consistency is, it uses like a whole roll of toilet paper to wipe. Like yeah. What are some changes that we could make?
Right.
Would help that.
So a few things that come to mind. Certainly water. We are 70% water. So we need to embrace that. Normally, eight glasses of 8 ounces each is a little low for most of us. The beautiful formula should be half of your body weight in ounces of water.
Oh, that's great, because we can use that for our kids.
Correct. Exactly. So it'll vary depending on your size and your age. And just drink it in chunks of about 2 to 4 ounces at the time. So chugging down a lot of water at the time, all it does is the water goes in and out too quickly and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Oils are an amazing thing. I'm talking about sesame oil, avocado, coconut, grapeseed oil to cook with. Anything that is seedy, like pumpkin seeds, are just your body thrive with those kinds of healthy oils. Remember, your brain is mostly fat, even though your body is mostly water. Mm-hmm. So not only this is brain food, this is the great food for your intestines to keep everything kind of oily and moving like a whale oil machine. And then finally, prebiotic foods. So prebiotic foods are essentially foods for your probiotics, foods that are there to feed the beneficial bacteria that is there to do many things for you, including keeping you regular. And prebiotic foods are things like brown rice and sweet potato and plantains and bananas and things like that.
Oh, interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. That's cool. I'm sorry. I'm just taking notes so that we have these for the show notes. So, and what about fermented foods? Where do those fit into the whole thing?
Fermented foods are amazing. They're essentially probiotic foods. So yeah, there's a little bit of a difference, right? Probiotics are that beneficial bacteria that is there, that lives, you know, inside your gut and that is there to, you know, keep diseases at bay and improve your immunity and keep everything in your gut functioning normally. The prebiotic foods are the stuff that you consume to help the probiotics. So fermented foods are amazing. The one thing about fermented foods is, especially if you have issues like too much indigestion or too much acid in your stomach, then you need to be a little careful about those. Maybe combine them with other foods when you're eating them. So don't eat them all on their own. And eat them in small amounts because a little bit goes a long way with them.
Yep. So like avocado with sauerkraut would be combining the two.
Exactly. Or even brown rice, which they just work so well together.
Okay. Sounds good. I love that. So then, actually, while we're on the topic of brown rice, that's a question I get a lot. What do you think about all this new talk of brown rice? And it being having chemicals in it. Do you feel that?
Well, everything has chemicals in it. If we're going to compare chemicals and chemicals, then nobody should be having any kind of animal flesh,
right?
Because there's even the stuff that is allegedly, you know, grass fed and you know, organic and that stuff. These animals live a horrible life and they die a horrible death. So the amount of stress hormones that are populating that flesh alone is enough for you to stay away from it, not mentioning any of the other stuff that you feed the animals. So, you know, the truth is that everything in this world, unfortunately, is overpolluted. We have done a disservice to the generation that's coming next to us. And it is embarrassing. It is the kind of stuff where, you know, if there's such thing as, you know, heaven and hell, and we one day show up at the pearly gates, you know, Peter is going to be looking at us like, what did you all do? Like, I just gave you this beautiful earth and you just went and caused all kinds of problems. So I would, you know, I try to stay away from anything that is not organic as long as I can afford it. So within reason, obviously, because people live in with very limited budgets in some instances. Rice has been, and grains in particular, have been at the cornerstone of development of societies since the beginning of time.
Yeah,
I mean, societies became what they are today because people were able to sit in one corner and plant and not have to worry too much about harvesting or about, you know, becoming hunter-gatherers. And instead, they can actually use their brains to develop societies like we know today.
Yeah.
So there is nothing in my book and in my opinion wrong with grains in their whole state.
Yep.
Of course, there is such thing. I mean, there's some doctors and experts that talk about leaky gut syndrome and how grains cause leaky gut syndrome. From the research that I've done, nothing could be farther from the truth.
Yep.
Leaky gut syndrome is a combination of many habits that have been going on for many years, including excess of sugar and processed carbohydrates.
Yep. And so much is it just figuring out what makes you feel good. So if you pay attention. So let's get back to fruits and vegetables for a sec. So both of us have chosen to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables in our lives. So what do you think is the optimal amount that we eat in a day? And do you have any strategies for us to eat that amount?
You know, I would eat as many as your body needs, as often as your body needs them.
Yep.
So I don't count calories. I don't recommend people to count calories. I don't recommend people to measure foods. You know, the truth is that for the last 6,000 years, or say 5,900 years, we never counted calories, and everybody was fairly slim, and everybody was fairly, you know, living life the way they were intended to live it. It's only in the last 100 years that we're having these issues with excess of weight and with calorie counting, and it just adds another extra stress level to an already stressful life. So what I say to people is, eat for the rainbow. Eat as many fruits and vegetables as you want. I'd rather eat the fruit alone, not necessarily in combination with fruit, with vegetables or meat or grains, because fruit tends to have a very fast transit time, and it tends to ferment and cause a little bit of indigestion, bloating, and gas if you combine it with other stuff.
Yep.
So if you're the kind that suffers from that a lot, then maybe eat fruit alone. And then vegetables, oh my God, eat as many as you want to. Try different stuff that you haven't tried before. Find recipes online to find ways, fun ways to make vegetables exciting and fun. And remember, your children will follow what they see. They're not born one day deciding that they don't like asparagus. Somehow they learn that asparagus are not good. And so just like some children love asparagus, your children can actually learn to love them as well. But it starts with us as adults teaching children that this is amazing, that it is an amazing experience to have something that is really good for you.
Yeah, it's so true. So true that when you lead by example, they want to be like us.
They don't know any better. I mean, I have cousins who, and you see it. I see my friends with children, and you see the kids, the parents that are picky have picky children, and the parents that are like, well, this is all there is, and the kids welcome the food because it's like, it's either this or I'll starve.
Right. Well, and what's so interesting to me is, and it comes up for me, I have to say, as a mom, like, I spent 2 years eating only raw vegan. Like I went totally off the deep end for 2 years, and I felt amazing when I first did this change. I changed away a little bit from that because it didn't serve me so well. But what I found was that then, as I was dealing with my daughter who was having all these issues, I had all this guilt, like somehow, like cupcakes made children feel better. And if you went to the doctor, you needed a lollipop. And I feel like we have all these things that we learn, but if we really tune in and listen to kids at a very young age, and don't take them off that course, like an 18-month-old like loves having a spoon and an avocado, and they want to mush the sweet potato in their hands. Like they don't somehow we th somewhere along the line we decided it was cool that if they could eat a Cheerio, but they don't even care about that.
They don't. They don't. I have a I wish I could remember where I read this, but this was a woman that will reward her children for daily activities, like things that were normal. So if you have a 4-year-old that doesn't want to brush his or her teeth, instead of her saying, well, this is something that you have to do every day, she will say things like, since you were so good today, your reward is you'll get to brush your teeth. It's be like, yay! And she did that with everything, with food, with good behaviors, with exercise, with TV, because these kids were a little older and they were a little addicted to the TV. And she's like, this, the reward for good behavior will be like, we'll get to go outside and play.
I love that. It's so true.
And it was fascinating.
So I love that. So I hope all the moms listening go look at your work, because I swear that that oxygen mask thing is so true. If you feel good, everybody feels good.
Absolutely.
So we always end the episode with, which we're coming to the end of, with a question that everybody gets asked, and I am feeling very bad at this moment because I'm not sure that I briefed you on this. But but I feel like food is one of those things that just gets passed on from it has a big impact on our memories. And so the question that I ask everyone is there a meal that really sticks out in your memory as either the food was amazing or the company was amazing, or somehow this meal shaped, your life in a very positive, I guess, or negative way. And it's something that you carry with you, and our audience might like to hear this story.
Wow. Well, I don't know about a story specifically, but I lost my grandparents, and now as you get older, you start to realize a lot of the things that you took for granted, especially with respect to food. My mother's mother, who we called mommy or mom, because she was like our second mom, was the most amazing cook ever. And I remember the just the simple the smells on her skin were always like food based. So in Puerto Rico, which is where I'm from, we have our diets are the base of the diet is rice and beans. And this woman could make the best beans on the planet. So I'm actually like telling you this story and like my mouth is watering.
Oh, I love that.
Because the unfortunate thing is that, I don't remember ever telling her how much I appreciated those meals, because you're children and you don't really realize how amazing it is. But now, as adults that we've tried many beans from many other places, you realize, oh my God, there's nothing like my grandmother's beans. And, I do talk to her in spirit, and I do thank her for the beauty of teaching us not just about those foods, but she was also very big on herbalism, which you're using herbs to solve basic ailments. And now when I sit in quiet contemplation, sometimes I thank her for the wisdom that we took for granted at some point. But I want her and the rest of the world to know that I am honoring her memory and the memory of every quiet grandmother everywhere around the world, with the choices that I make every day, and how I honor my body with the foods that I feed it every day.
Well, and I love that because that shows how powerful it is, right? She wasn't even asking for your thanks or for your appreciation. She simply made these amazing beans all the time, and you get to carry that with you and pass it on. It's so powerful how food can do that. And beans and rice are such a great food, as you know, not a meat eater. We have a lot of beans and rice in my house.
Lots of them. And they're comfort food for me, and they make me happy. It's just, it's a wonderful thing.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for your time. And will you just tell our listeners how they can find you and what the best, you know, way to do that is?
Yeah, so you can check out my website at jovancacrs.com. It's JOVANKA. C as in Charlie, IARES.com. Or you can download my app at wellnesssmackdown.com.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah, I think we should all go get her app. I'm into apps with this new podcast.
Totally free. So,
well, thank you so much. Thank you for your time and all your wisdom. And thanks a lot. So,
oh my God, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, good. So, bye, busy mamas. I hope that you have a lot of nuggets you can take away. And remember to pick one and take action with it this week. Have fun. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.